everybody. Takeaway Podcast here, giving you a little bit of extra takeaway for your weekend. My name is Jay Cowd. I'm the director of The Takeaway here with Amber Hall. Hello, Amber.
Hi, Jay.
And you?
I am the planning editor.
The planning editor, which means you get to plan some of our specials.
I do, indeed.
Some of our full-hour shows, some of our trips.
Yep.
And one trip we took last year was a pretty fun one, in part because we didn't have to travel very far from
That's
here
true.
Downtown. We did an exploration of the World Trade Center and what's there now. And obviously, for those of us in New York, this is kind of a reverential, sacred place.
Sure.
And we decided for a July 4th show to kind of explore what's there now and where we've come since 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned out, we made this hour, and people tended to like it. It won an Edward R. Murrow Award.
That's right. One piece in particular.
Tales from the Towers, which was our host John Hockenberry's look at elevators. And as you can imagine, there's like a million elevators all around World Trade Center in all the buildings.
Yeah. Probably not the first thing most people would notice about the World Trade Center.
Yeah, you'd notice the glass. You'd notice the buildings that are not yet done. You'd notice the fountains. You'd mm-hmm. notice the interiors of the buildings, which are all incredibly clean and sterile and white, very
mm-hmm.
white. So you're right. I think a lot of people bypass the elevators. But for those that don't know, our host, John Hockenberry, is wheelchair bound. He's
mm-hmm.
been in a wheelchair since a very young age. And so there are certain parts of the city that kind of are more apparent to him, as you can imagine. Accessible things throughout the city, on subways, in cars, on roadways. I've walked with him a few times in the streets, and it's wild to watch him cross the street because people will inevitably just stop. And so
mm-hmm.
you kind of worry about him crossing in a wheelchair, but it's not. It's not a big deal at all. And so something like elevators, John sees more so than most people.
Oh, yeah. It's like a toy almost to him. And he just, it seems to me, after traveling around the city with him a bunch and doing these projects, elevators for John are like these special portals to possibility.
And so when we're thinking of how to do this show, obviously we talk to a lot of people. That's our main game, is interviews. We talk to a lot of people involved in the rebuilding of the World Trade Center. But as is our MO with this show, we also like to hear the sounds of the area. What's going on down there that's not spoken word? What are the feelings? What is the physical, tangible, audible feelings that you get from these places? And obviously someone like John is amazing at weaving these together. And part of this is collecting these sounds. And so we can take a sound like this. Or a sound like this. Or even something like this. And kind of make them the guest of the segment. Make them the focus of the segment. So John is having a conversation still, but with these kind of abstract sounds. And really, no one does it better than John.
Yeah, I have to jump in there for a second, Jay, because as a producer, when a host comes up to you and says, I'm going to do an essay about elevators, you kind of have to think, oh boy, where am I going on this? And that's, you know, sometimes but I've learned, though, in the amount of time that I've been here, that when John has a crazy idea like that, it is usually worth pursuing.
We run on faith a lot on this
yes,
show.
Yes, indeed.
And in this case, we got rewarded. So let's take a listen to the piece right now. This is Tales from the Towers.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, and happy 4th of July to everyone. We're going to take a pause now in this search for all the red, white, and blue at the World Trade Center to let you in on another search, another kind of pilgrimage. Very personal. It's a wheelchair pilgrimage. And even though the old Twin Towers were often criticized for being not enough like the rest of New York City, that's why I loved them. They were accessible for wheelchairs everywhere. In the subways, the plazas, and the elevators. Oh, the elevators. I used to come down here a long time ago just to ride in the fastest elevator in the city, the old Windows on the World elevator, 107 stories. Losing it in the tragedy of 2001 was a minor sniffle, I suppose, in a much deeper tragedy. But one thing I discovered while spending a perfect summer day down here is that there are oceans of brand new elevators everywhere. at the brand new elevator in the Freedom Tower that delivers a time-lapse movie of the building of Manhattan in 47 seconds on its trip from the ground floor to the 102nd floor. I took a few moments to ride as many of these elevators at the World Trade Center as I could, to fly up and down Lower Manhattan, a wheelchair paradise through clouds of glass and ladders of concrete. Here I go.
Doors closing.
These elevators all talk, and you push no buttons anywhere except the key in the floor where you're going. The wall tells you what elevator to get into. The elevator knows where you want to go. It works. So here in this quiet, raw space, it's exactly what the old Twin Tower view used to be, although we're about halfway up. Cranes all over the place downtown. The water. This is the perfect day for being here, that's for sure.
Doors closing.
The views just get better and better. On floor 57 of Tower 4, there is no tenant. Just raw space. Yeah, we'll take it, but not exactly an apartment I can afford. And on this floor, there's an outside terrace to beat all outside terraces. You can hear the wind, you can feel the wind, but sitting right here against a wall of glass with the city all around, it's like you're lost in a dream. Is it cloud? Is it in the sky or is it on the building? You can't really tell. That is the weirdest echo. I'm completely in the open. A silent elevator takes us back down, and we end our trip in perhaps the slowest elevator in the city. It's in Tower 3. You might say that all of the sleek, speedy little elevators are the children of these slow, loud construction elevators that preceded them. Little more than cages on cables, they take us up to the unfinished, open boxes of air. Rooms yet unbuilt. No windows, no doors. Just space. It's completely open here. No walls. Just this orange netting. Come over to the edge. You look down. Absolutely nothing keeping you from falling. And there, it's the whole site just spread out. 10 years ago, this was empty. 13 years ago, this was a pile. 14 years ago, it was a burning pile. Today, it's raw space. There is a kind of hope here. Seeing all of this construction, everything new and working, it's kind of rare to see in New York, so covered with the fingerprints of industry and commerce, and just plain filth all the time. I feel a twinge for the old towers, but a bigger warmth for this new space, a dream city, where because the tragedy belonged to so many, so does the dream. And so, these are my elevators, folks. You know, you should come down and ride them sometime.
All right, well, there you have it. There's the piece. And we have with us in studio John Hockenberry. John, how's it going?
You know, it's great. It's great to listen to that. It's great to remember that even though, you know, it's kind of a wild goose chase for you guys, you know, running after me when this happens. It's always clear to me, though, that, you know, because I'm looking out for elevators wherever I go, I'd have these like laser beam detectors for elevators. When I'm in a place where there's a zillion of them, suddenly I realize I'm in a different space from everybody else. And what amazes me, and I think why this piece might have stood out to the judges, is that it's always amazing that the places that I go are unknown to the rest of the world, even though they may go in the same elevators that I go in. But to think of an elevator as this, you know, friendly place that, you know, enhances your life in some deep way is not the way people typically think of elevators, but it is the way I think of elevators. And so, you know, all of a sudden people were able to do what radio does best, and that is take people on a journey. You know, they were able to come on a journey to a place that they don't know and leave it feeling like, wow, I went somewhere where I've never been. And I think that's, you know, that's what we try to do every day.
Yeah, I mean, we've done this a long time between me and you. We've been on the show 8 years, and Amber's been a part of it now for a while. So what goes into your head when you're kind of composing these? Because it is composition. It's like almost more musical composition in some ways than text. So is it on site that you're thinking of it? Is it just in front of the paper? What's your process?
You know, I'm not really conscious of it. I mean, I get into the sound zone in that place at World Trade Center. I mean, the little bits that I hear, I can feel them being incorporated into what I'm thinking, the beeps, the buzzes, the little sentence fragments. I'm just collecting all of that stuff. I'm forcing you to note that that just happened so that we can find it again, so that you don't have to go through like 1,000 hours of tape. And then as far as the writing goes, it sort of writes itself. I don't really think a lot about it. It's hey, come with me, check this out. I mean, I think that's it. And there are great, wonderful words and poetic ways of saying things, and those are great little bonuses that happen along the way. But I'm really just going from point A to point B and realizing that the wonder that I express over it will kind of rub off on people listening. And so I kind of know that it's there, and I'm not surprised when it comes out, you know.
I have a new appreciation for elevators, certainly.
Those freight elevators, they're awesome, man. Aren't they so cool? I love those.
A lot of good sound to pick out from that, too. Like you were saying, you know, it's like the different elevators, because some have a whoosh and some have more of a chain type sound. So it's kind of fun to play with those differences.
Well, I'm an elevator collector. I mean, when you said go down to the World Trade Center, and I knew that there were all these not only freight elevators, but there were the construction elevators, which are on the outside, which are tacked to the building frame before it's done, and they are removed and thrown away. So you're basically going in an elevator that's going to be thrown into a dump. I just love that idea. Then there's the little lifts, and you know, there's also it's not on these construction sites, but I've been on them, elevators and construction sites that will lift you with a crane. You know, so it's. Those are really exotic. You have to kind of go to the developing world to get some of that feeling. I don't think they allow much of that here in the United States. But yeah, I'm a collector, and I think I probably notched my belt with 2 or 3 collector's items on that trip.
All right. Well, there you have it. You want to check out the piece again? It's at thetakeaway.org. Our thanks to the Edward R. Murrow Awards. Amber, thank you.
Thank you.
For spearheading this whole project. And John, thank you for everything, man.
Team effort, guys. Thanks a lot.
We'll see you soon. This is The Takeaway.
Want more information about the stories you hear on The Takeaway? Check out thetakeaway.org for more facts, figures, and news from guests and contributors and opinions from your fellow listeners. You can also check out the latest John Hockenberry blog post and subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a note or comment on a story you heard, all at thetakeaway.org.